Good morning.
Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad to have you here. Please take a look at your bulletin. It's full of announcements and also a calendar. Gives you an idea of how we here at GPC are church together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions. Just a few notes to highlight for everyone. A very important reminder. Next Sunday is Christmas Eve. Yes, Sunday, I know, whoa. 10 a.m., we will be celebrating together with our youngest children for a Christmas pageant. Again, that's the 10 a.m. service. And then we will be having one evening service at 7 p.m., which will be the traditional lessons and carols and candle lighting, and all our choirs will be singing. You'll see in the bulletin that the office, though, is closed Christmas through the new year. And just two other reminders for you. Today we are receiving the Christmas Joy offering. You'll find information in your bulletin about that. And this is your last chance. If all of the snow and cold has got you down and you are ready for some warmth and sunshine, think July. When we will, together as a church, be traveling to Stony Point Center, which is about 45 minutes outside of New York City, for a retreat together. This is your last chance to sign up if you are interested, and we are so excited about this opportunity. A reminder, 40, if you are 40 and under, this is the Presbyterian Church, you are young until you are 40. I don't know what you are after that, though. You are free for this renewal opportunity. There is a sign up on the kiosk, so please join us. I hear we have a couple other announcements. Have you been designated? Yes.
All right. Good morning. The Where's Waldo event is at the Grease Mall tonight at 6 p.m. If you want to be a Waldo, scarves are in the foyer. Happy shopping. And the Blue Mountain Coffee House is on Saturday, January 13th, on the kiosk. And you can sign up on the kiosk for talent and baked goods that will be sold later that night.
Thank you. And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God.
Christmas is coming. Be joyful and celebrate.
Some people just celebrate because that's what you do at this time of year. Some celebrate because they think they are going to be given good gifts. But for us, it's different. Christmas is time for us to celebrate how Christ's birth changed the entire world for the better, and how God invites us to make the world a better place today.
Joy came into the world at Christmas time with the birth of a baby 2,000 years ago. The joy is in our hearts, so let it out. Right now, the world needs all the joy it can get.
Christ is coming. As we wait expectantly for Christmas Day, we light this third candle as a sign that the joy and love and peace that arrived with the birth of Christ are still here with us today, and we want to share them with everyone around us. Let us pray. Lord of
from you, O Bethlehem,
for the ruler of Israel,
with origins deep in the past, come a child about to be born, whose greatness shall reach the ends of the earth, bringing peace and joy.
Let us join our hearts together in a time of prayer. Lord God, we praise you for sending light into this world. We confess that we live as though the light has never defeated darkness. We confess that we ignore the Savior you sent to be among us and to live in us. We've kept the birth of your Son confined to the Christmas season and do not yearn for his coming each moment in our waiting hearts. Forgive us for not opening our eyes to Jesus. Help us rejoice in the light so that your grace can illuminate the darkened places of our hearts. this time, the children are welcome to come forward.
Good morning. Who knows what's happening in about a week or so? Christmas. What is Christmas all about? The birth of Jesus Christ. That was a good answer. Thank you. We're going to read a story. I'm going to read the story, and Alex is going to act it out with our manger animals and people here. So we're going to read the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. We're not reading that part today. Who knows what great with child means? Do you know what that means? That means she was pregnant, so she was about to have a baby. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were so afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you a child is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Dear God, thank you for bringing us your Son Jesus, and help us to remember that his birth is the real story of Christmas. Amen. We have a copy of the story for each of you to take home, and you can color the pictures in it to remind you of the story of Christmas.
Now you are walled around us with a wall, sages laid against us. With a rod they strike the ruler of Israel upon the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of those little clans of Judea, from you shall come forth for me, one who is the rule of Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them upon until they the time when she who is the labor has brought forth. Then rest of his kindred shall return to have people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock with the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great, to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Hear these familiar words to us this day. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, as was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. a joy it has been for me to share with you this Advent season these creative interpretations of the rest of the story. So these narrations, these monologues, have emerged for me based on inspiration from those who have taken up the ancient approach of reading and interpreting the Bible in the Jewish rabbinical tradition known as Midrash. So Midrash reimagines a dominative scriptural narrative, takes that text, and creates new ones to stand alongside, not replace, a former reading. So my Hebrew biblical studies professor from Colgate Divinity School, Mark Brummett, coined the term womanist Midrash to describe the work of Wild Nagafi, who teaches at Bright Divinity School and just published a book by the same name. See, womanist Midrash listens to and for the voices of marginalized characters in the biblical story, especially women and girls. And then Gaffney draws from her experiences in the pulpit and pews of African-American churches, where sanctified imagination is used in that Midrash tradition to go beyond the text and fill out those missing details, stories, characters. You see, I believe that the gospel authors also did a fair amount of using their own sanctified imagination to tell us the stories of Jesus. We read those first five verses in the second chapter of Luke. Very rarely on Christmas Eve will you hear a sermon about the census, the registration being taken in the year of Emperor Augustus while Quirinius was governor. But it has caused no end of difficulty to those who have sought to verify the truth of that statement in other ancient sources. You see, the historical evidence just isn't there. But for Luke, it doesn't seem to matter. In telling the story, it is more important to set up that contrast. Jesus, the son of David, bringer of peace, born in Bethlehem, to that of the Roman oppression, which was evident under forced registration. And that was more important to him, that contrast, than it was to be historically accurate. So this morning, no matter how many PBS or National Geographic documentaries you have seen debating this as truth or not, I would invite you not to get caught up in the details of history, whether the census was taking place at that time or who exactly those Roman officials in power were. Just know that Luke has a story to tell. The story, the coming of a Savior, born in Bethlehem, the city of David, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And I now invite you to hear the rest of the story as we imagine it from the perspective of a census taker. If I could change my name to Mara, I would. When my parents gave me the name Naomi, they believed, as all parents do, holding that precious child in their arms, that I would live into its meaning, my joy. But you must know, here in Bethlehem, joy may be born to us, a gift from God. But it does not save us from the inevitability of hardship and heartbreak. More and more I find joy absent from my life and the bitterness taking over. Do I blame God, the government, or myself for accepting my life here? It's all I've ever known. You see, here in Bethlehem, we hear the stories and rumors from those who have traveled to Rome, the epitome of excess. Those gleaming white buildings with grand columns and arches made of marble and gold. Well-fed people gorging themselves until they are sick, simply so they can just eat more. And the bright colors, clothing of every shade of purple and red and blue. But here in this little town of Bethlehem, I dwell in a world of contradiction. Bread, for which the town is named, filled with so many hungry people, scrambling in long lines for meager handouts. This, the birthplace of Israel's great King David, now occupied from a throne of a foreign domination controlling every aspect of our lives. Pax Romana, peace in Rome, we are told and then enforced with a sword, pierces our hearts, our souls. Struggle each day to rise from my sleep and not focus on the brokenness that has hardened me. I try each day to focus on something else. Lord knows how hard I've tried. I recall the prayers and holy scriptures of my people. I try to repeat them in my head and aloud each morning as I roll up my sleeping mat. Shema Yisrael Adonai, Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the God, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. While preparing the morning meal and kneading the daily bread, I sing the songs of the temple musicians. My father has taken me to hear them sing so many times that I just get lost. And the sounds of their voices echoing off the temple walls and rising up to the heavens. But that feeling barely seems to last the hour walk from Jerusalem back to Bethlehem. This morning, the feelings of bitterness and dread rise up in my chest, and I can taste back of my throat. But I continue on my day. I pull the leather straps of my sandals over my heels, and I call out to my father, who's tending the sheep in the back, Abba, it's time for me to go. I hear him splash water from the cistern onto his hands. He thinks that he can wash away the smell of animal and cupping my chin, I can still smell the sweetness of the hay beneath his fingernails. I'm so sorry, my Naomi, he says. This is my fault. I gently shake my head. I don't want him to remove his hands from my face. Those hands pressed against my cheeks make me feel like a small child, innocent, protected. We've talked about this, Baba. Teaching me to read and write was not your fault. I begged you to provide the same instruction like you did for my younger brother. How are we to know
that they would find out that we could read and write. I could not let them force little Jacob to do their work. If there is anyone to blame, it is me for volunteering to take his place, to take part in this registration. Is that what they're calling it now? Do they think that that word makes it sound more civilized than what it really is? They count us, our people, our animals, our crops. The more they count, the more they can take from us to supply their needs in the capital in Rome. Naomi hisses. The peacekeepers are everywhere. They might hear you. Everyone is everywhere, I retort under my breath. It's childlike, I know, but I have grown so impatient with the number of people in our little town. Everyone born in Bethlehem must return here to be registered under the decree from Emperor Augustus. Every inn, every spare room, every outdoor space contains someone's relative. Some traveling only a few short days and others journeying for weeks across mountains and deserts. Before everyone arrived, the soldiers, or peacekeepers as they like to call themselves, who were stationed here, inquired into the households about those who could read or write. We're a farming town. You don't need to read and write to keep watch over flock and field. My father, at one time, had the dreams that he might be a priest. He studied in Jerusalem for years before returning home. He passed his learnings along to my brother and I, in hopes that with him we might find joy in God's words. My father has always been a bit of an idealist. He believes all that was said about a Messiah who would come, who would save us, who would bring the good news of great joy for all people. He will be born to us one day. Watch, a light will shine in the darkness. Grabbing the parchment from the top of the table, I kiss his bristly cheek and smile at the joy I can see in his eyes. I'm glad he has enough for both of us. You see, most people here in Bethlehem have given up on joy and allow fear to lead them to compliance. Oppression crushes joy in whatever way it can, by stealing our resources, denying us our freedom, and these constant threats of violence. Let the registration begin, I say sarcastically to him as I walk out the door and onto the dusty streets of Bethlehem. I knock on the doors of my neighbors. Most people pay little attention as I go about my work, counting the chickens, the sheep, the cows, each member of the household. They tell me how much land belongs to their ancestors, and I move from one house to the next and on to the next. The sun begins to set. My fingers grow numb from the cold. I see from the list there is one last household before I can turn home for the day. Knocking at the door, I hear a shout. We already told you, there's no room here. I knock again. I refuse to repeat those words they have instructed me to use. By decree of Emperor Augustus, a registration. I will not play all of their games. The door swings open, and the hands of an older man covered in blood from the slaughter of a nearby lamb hanging in a doorway, are held up, prepared to turn me away. Glancing at the parchment, he proceeds to wipe his hands on the leather apron, and I notice they begin to shake. Could you come back in the morning? Everything's such a mess. Dinner, you see. And I can tell he's trying to get rid of me when I hear a woman cry out. Glancing over his shoulder, he mumbles about the registration and how all these people have come so far, and this woman and her husband with child so close to giving birth, but they're no relation to us, he tries to convince me. They are the house of David. This is an inn, but we have no room. They were willing to stay out back in the stable, but they are not to be counted with us, please. We do not have enough to be taxed for them as well. I assure him I know how to do my job, and reluctantly he permits me entrance. He shows me the way to the stable. Quietly, I begin my count. I find the cattle, and I hear the woman cry out in pain again. And then I see the couple in the dark corner. Their backs are to me, but I can hear her whispering to him. His name. His name will be Jesus. He will be the Son of God. Son of the Most High, the man whispers back. He will feed the hungry, send the rich away empty. He will be the joy of all people, they say together, before she cries out in pain again. Joy. The feeling in that moment catches me so off guard that I stumble backward and land with a thud in a manger full of hay. And the couple turns and smiles at me with a contentment that radiates from both of their faces. Joy. I thought I had forgotten what it feels like participate in a moment like this, where we are waiting for God's promises to redeem this world. Joy. It feels so real, so possible. Perhaps even with the bitterness that has hardened my heart, deep down I know I am waiting for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart.
together in word and song, and we bring our hearts, our voices, as we give voice to those prayers of joy, those prayers of concern on our hearts this day. If you have a prayer you'd like to share, raise your hand, and the usher will bring a microphone by.
Paula Souza, I ask for prayers for my piano tuner, who's been diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer, and his wife is in a coma. She's been there for 8 weeks at Unity. And for my sister-in-law, who's been referred from Strong to Roswell in her battle against cancer.
Prayers for them.
I'd like to ask for a couple of prayers. First of all, this morning in Burlington, Massachusetts, after the church service, our daughter Trina is at a congregational meeting where we're hoping that the congregation will call her as the full-time pastor there. She's been there for a couple years now, but it's now becoming official as a full-time pastor. So prayers for her and her congregation. Secondly, my mother just had some minor surgery on Friday and has another procedure on Tuesday. And she's doing okay, but at 86, it kind of knocks the stuffing out of you. So prayers for her, too. Thank you.
Prayers for your mom, and also prayers of great joy. We celebrate with Trina and the congregation as they discern that future together.
Helen Priestley, I would ask for prayer, please, for Walt's sister Judy, who is suffering from some very serious health issues.
Prayers with you and for Judy. Not seeing any other. There we go. Got one more.
Did you see it? A little notice in today's bulletin. Our beloved Melissa is now Dr. DeRoya. Please hit me on the back.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you all for your support and prayers this week as I successfully defended my thesis. So,
yay.
All right. I have prayers from our children this morning. They have a lot of joy, prayers of joy for Power Rangers and Christmas, because they go together, and for seeing family. We have apparently a lot of first Christmases for dogs and cats, and a prayer for, I think they're confusing us with Santa Claus, and the Board of Education. So we have prayers for a new puppy for Christmas, and prayers that somehow we can change the school calendar so the break is longer. It's all right. It's all good. Prayers of joy for birthdays, for grandparents, for family and friends, and for all those who are sick today, that they may experience healing. Let us continue our time of prayer. God of grace, give us the gift of imagination that we might imagine the wonder of a new world being born, that we might imagine the promise of hope that Mary carried in her womb, that we might imagine ourselves as capable of bearing the joy of Christ to this weary world. Help us to leap with joy at that promise. And dear Lord, we worry about our world, and we continue to pray for peace, for refugees in crowded camps, for victims of violence in every corner, for governments that oppress within their borders. All of it reminds us how desperately your perfect love is needed. And Holy One, we pray for our family and our friends trying to meet the challenges of daily life, worries about children, fighting illness, depression, and struggling with relationships, grieving with death. Break into those lives with at least a glimmer of light, O God, and show us how we can help. Use the challenges in all of our lives, our worries, our fears, to draw us even more closely to you. Because in the deepest places of our souls, somehow we know that you are there. God, for those who yearn for the wonder of Christmas to well up again, show yourself this week in the eyes of a child, in the chaos that seems to be everywhere, in the twinkling of lights, a smile of a stranger. God, your world is laboring in
we are waiting for your coming. Let us, the brothers and sisters of this child of peace, feel the glory of the Nativity. We pray this in the name of Emmanuel, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us now receive the morning offering.
Bless these gifts, O Lord, and help them to bring transforming love you have given us unto miseries, ministries of joy and peace in our dark world. Amen.
friends, we go out into this world to share the love, the joy, the hope, and peace that the Christ child brings. So go. Go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage, the Holy Spirit, that it takes to get up and do it again. Alleluia. Amen.